Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dott, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Today we take a look at the solution provider's view of how the COVID-19 pandemic is impacting the market as I chat with Dave Fredrickson, Executive Vice President of Sales for Longview Systems. We talk about how the pandemic has impacted Longview as it goes to market, and why it's using this as an opportunity to ramp up an already existing shift from a more traditional sales footing to one more focused on customer experience. After all, nobody wants what Fredrickson describes as the over-the-top sales effort when they're trying to react to a rapidly changing pandemic. We talk about what he's seeing in terms of needs and requests from a variety of vertical markets that Longview serves, and we discuss how the experience the company's customers are facing today is likely to shape their IT strategy going forward. A note before we get going, this interview was conducted earlier this month, as you'll probably guess when Fredrickson talks about being at the end of his family's own 14-day quarantine after a cut short trip to the US for March break. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear Dave predict the result of a disturbing trend in the price of oil futures that actually ended up coming true this month, fortunately, briefly, but who knows where it's going from here. It's a fascinating conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Dave Fredrickson. Dave, thanks for taking the time. And first and most important question, how are you? How's your family and how's your team?
Yeah, thanks for starting there. So we're good, settling into the new normal, of course. My wife's in healthcare, in oncology, and so she's doing work vis-a-vis telephone. My son luckily goes to a school where they started the online learning already just over a week ago. So although it's not full days, of course, trying to figure out how we can still get some exercise. So we're doing well, and we have 24 hours left before our official quarantine ends, although I guess everybody's quarantined these days. As we were we made the fatal mistake of stepping into the US for a much shortened stay that we had planned. And then when we came back, we had 2 weeks ago, we had to quarantine ourselves. So, but no, we're healthy and managing and functioning fine. And yeah, and generally, in the Longview, world, we've got a pretty big population, right? Just about 1300 people. Mm-hmm. We do not have any confirmed cases, associated with COVID. There are a couple of symptomatic, people. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping a very, very close eye on that. But in general, weathering at least the health storm, fine.
Good. Glad to hear. And, all the best to those who do have those symptoms. Hopefully they resolve very quickly for them. One of the interesting, I think, level set questions that's coming up is how much of I know you guys are distributed and have various locations across the country, but I don't have a sense for how much, you know, basically on March 1, 2020, how much of a support for work from home or culture of work from home was there at Longview?
So we've always had an approach, even for people like our service desk, especially when they're doing 24-hour shifts, mm-hmm. that we've always implemented some form of flexibility and work from home capabilities across the organization. Many people though still came into the offices, sure. Especially out west. Toronto a little bit less, just because it's always difficult to make your way downtown. So I'd say that there was definitely some adjustment that we had to do, both technology wise, as well as individuals themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger getting used to or being able to manage is the fact that they've got kids and spouses at home as well. And so I think that's the most significant change or new normal that people are having to adjust with.
Right, but it sounds like from a technology standpoint, internally you were kind of structured to do it and had the processes in place to do it, which puts you in as good a place as one can be, I guess, for making this adjustment as quickly as we've all had to make it.
Yeah. We had to do some work around our network and WAN to be able to accommodate the additional users. So, just over 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, we had to definitely increase some bandwidth to accommodate. But from a security and from overall perspective, we're in good shape.
All right. I acknowledge obviously there's going to be a range of responses to this, but what are you hearing from customers? What's been the experience of kind of working with customers over the last few weeks looked like as compared to normal?
Yeah, so a tale of many verticals is the way I would position it.
Sure.
We've had some, and the good news is from a company, we are extremely diversified. But there are some verticals that have been really hit hard by this. Airlines and airports, we do a bunch of work with them. Mm-hmm. And those were, hugely impacted. Airlines, you saw the WestJet and Air Canada layoffs. Airport traffic, we're seeing, down at least 90%.
Yeah.
So clearly those are the ones that have had the most significant impact. And then we have still a fairly good size oil and gas business, and clearly the price of oil being at a place right now where at least the Canadian producers have to pay people to come and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty scary situation. So a lot of capital freezing that's going on. We have had some requests for us to take a look at how we can help reduce costs. And so the good news is we've got lots of things that we can do to help out with that. Many cases we're seeing a surge in things like our service desk. So as more people work from home, especially at the very beginning, there's been a surge. So our service desk business, again, in some verticals has actually increased. The good news is we are well diversified. Financial services is fastly becoming our biggest vertical, and that hasn't had the same impact. Obviously, trying to help them out. Utilities, we've really seen a surge. We're defined by some of our utility companies as an essential partner, mm-hmm. which was great, and we had to rapidly help them deploy some business continuity capabilities across a number of different areas. Healthcare has exploded in some ways. So everything is being looked at through a different lens, both from our clients and how we're responding to the crisis.
All right. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Are we at the point now where sort of that initial rush of getting laptops out maybe and getting the appropriate networks and tool supports in place for people to work from home is done, or is that still an ongoing story with your customers?
So again, it differs. We definitely saw the initial rush, in mid-March. But that said, we are seeing, different requirements, especially in the healthcare vertical, that are now, we're not at its peak yet in terms of some of the things that that people are needing to do. We're seeing, big surge in terms of anything to do with VDI remote, right? So mm-hmm. our Citrix piece. The O365 and Teams, many organizations are now who had pauses before are now asking us to scale that very quickly. So yeah, we have a four quadrant approach to dealing with our clients through this. But the first is connecting and making sure that we're establishing open communication in a very tactful way. Like we want to be careful that we're not seen as overselling or selling into the crisis. And we're here to help. We're here to understand what we need to do and how we need to shift priorities that we had with them, what projects are still on track and which ones are coming off. So that whole connect piece of it. Then, the next thing that we do is we're then talking about, okay, so what does deployment look like where you need it and how can we help you again? And then the third area is around scaling. Because oftentimes now the ability to scale this out it has changed. We've got one healthcare organization that we rapidly deployed over 12,000 teams sites or individuals, and then as a result of that, in 10 days they were able to have facilitate over 10,000 physician consults.
Wow.
which would not have happened and had alleviated a significant burden on the traditional healthcare flow. So, like, there, that was a great news story. And so there's still, these are coming up. They're coming up day to day. We're trying to understand to work in any vertical, you know, where, what are the priorities and what's come up. There's some organizations that are seeing this as an opportunity for them to scale up their cloud. Mm-hmm. And then everything we have to do has got a security wrapper. So security, every organization and you know, is taking a look at whatever they're doing and recognizing, as we seen many of the horror stories come out from Europe, right, around you know, the bad guys taking advantage of this opportunity where people would rapidly deploy some technology and maybe don't have it as secure. So everybody's really taking a hard look at that, and our security teams are full out right now in across a whole number of different verticals trying to assist.
I'm not surprised to hear that, given, as you say, there's such an increased threat surface out there, and a lot of organizations are, as an issue of business continuity, having to, you know, spin up work from home in a way that certainly they would not have done it in under ordinary circumstances, even if they decided to do it. So yeah, excellent point on the importance of security in so doing.
Yeah, well, and even, you know, in healthcare, it's not work from home, and there may be some telehealth that's spun up, but then it also could be, you know, firing up a facility that's a COVID facility where they still need the technology going through to that. They need the bedside, mm-hmm. right? It's critically important. And so when they're doing that, again, it has to happen with a security umbrella and governance such that they comply with the regulatory requirements.
Yeah. You know, you kind of touched on, I think, the opportunity to be flexible and introduce savings and that sort of thing, the things that technology can maybe do in the longer run. I'm curious your thoughts. I realize it's obviously really early days to be talking about this, but how do you think the technology game changes coming out of this as a result of what you're seeing and what we're learning over the last 3 weeks of rather quick learning?
So I touched on it very briefly, but, you know, the collaboration and remote collaboration, mm-hmm. Many organizations were already down the road and starting to put that in place. Well, now they've rapidly gone and done it, and now they recognize and realize how important that is. The training of the people how to most effectively work in these new, this new normal or new environment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to become more pervasive in terms of the adoption of the, of, I'll call it, those collaborative tools, for those companies that hadn't done that and who have realized that they've had to step into it. I think that you're going to see that pick up. Clearly the utility and the cloud side of things, because again, there's so many different benefits associated with this. One is the scaling up and scaling down. But two is also the ability to be able to not have, frankly, your own staff having to watch the blinky lights and being there. And so, and then everything from a DR and business continuity. And then I think you're going to start seeing as well, too, a number of different things around the data analytics side and how we can make our potentially, you know, how do we migrate some of the legacy environments that we had into something that's a little bit more resilient, more agile. So it already was going, and I would have to say and see that's going on. And of course, you know, again, security always has that wrapper now. There's nothing that we're doing that doesn't have it, especially from a governance side.
Right. Has analytics been a big business for you in the past, or is that something that's sort of on the rise and perhaps getting a bit of a rocket attached to it as a result of what we're seeing today?
Yeah, I can't say that we've seen a result of the current situation with that. Where we have seen a very, very big opportunity is with organizations, especially in the financial services space, where you know, there's some different FSI companies where they had legacy data environments that were siloed. and they were trying to be able to get at that information. And so first putting it into a cloud and then putting it into things like a data marts, and then having an analytics platform and then a front end like a Power BI, being able to go in and then take that information. So that was something that we have seen some real big growth. And in fact, to the degree there where, you know, we've got some data scientists on our team, and we're working with a couple of select partners in the space as well. And so that the trick in that is one, you've got to do a bulletproof job end to end, and two is to scale it. We weren't at a point where we're scaling it, so now we're taking a look at that right now and saying, okay, how do we retrain and potentially redeploy some people that we might have had into this space, as well as the hiring. We're hiring, like we've been hiring like crazy. Now, I'm sure this will put a damper on, I'll call it, more traditional roles, but we're still actively out looking for people with cloud, people with security skills, people with networking skills, especially next gen network. We've launched something, we call it NextNet, which is really the whole next generation networking requirements. I don't think we haven't seen anything surge as a result of COVID. However, I'm sure there are, especially in the data modeling, where people are trying to get out in front of this. And what a great opportunity. If you've got the data being able to already be put into a cloud, you're now able to take advantage of that versus where if you might have had a legacy on-prem. It scales nowhere near there. The capabilities just aren't there. So that's where, again, I believe that you're going to, it's just going to emphasize more and more the opportunity that exists around kind of cloud and then call a new way of running your environments, your IT companies.
All right. You've shared a couple of anecdotes of kind of things you've seen. I'm curious, are there any other big innovations or surprises that you've seen from your customers as a result of COVID and the changes or shifts that have been thrust upon them over the last month?
Yeah. I mean, first off, people are it's not business as usual. So, you need to be very, very sensitive when you're engaging with your clients right now that you're not wasting their time. Now, that's always, of course, the case. However, I'd say that, definitely clients have zero patience for that over-the-top kind of selling in this particular environment, right? Mm-hmm. Organizations want to first know that you care and that you've built some trust equity up with them. And then they're trying to understand, okay, how can you help, right? And what are the areas that you can assist me with based on my shifting daily priorities that are going on, right? And so how can you augment potentially their bench? How can you come in and completely, how I could trust you and just go and run with this? We're seeing, people spin up instead of statements of work, spinning up in a very, very rapid fashion, letter of intents around environments that you just wouldn't see, especially in some, organizations that frankly have, very tight procurement policies but it's just necessary, right? So I'd say that's the other side of it. The supply chain is the other one where it gets interesting. Now I've got to believe there's more of an impact on the client side. We've had a number of rapid deployments for I'll call it clients, but not in huge numbers. Mm-hmm. We're not a big player in that game. We've seen some slight delays around kind of the networking infrastructure, but for the most part, it was interesting that Cisco had shifted a fair amount of its manufacturing from China because of the Trump tariffs that were going on. Mm-hmm. And so they had already shifted some of that capability. Now, the lower level component parts, I'd sure still have to come from there. But sure. Again, so we've actually, and touch wood, but we've seen less of an impact on supply chain than we had expected. I think distribution's played a good role there too, in terms of stepping up and making sure that there was ample stock.
All right. And in terms of kind of the communication and support you're seeing from your vendors and disties, how's that going for you?
Yeah, so it's going well. Again, everybody, everybody's jumped on that. Now, the challenge that our clients have is that there's a bombardment of programs, of offers, of things that, again, and it's so one of the things we're trying to do is consolidate this. So I'm our field, we've created a whole COVID framework internally. One for my own organization, my pre-sales, sales, even consultants, our client services managers. So to consolidate a place so that they can take a look at it, we're having our practices kind of look through the offers and then try to categorize them in a way that can be digested first for our organization, and so that we can then appropriately go and say, okay, here's what we think based on our knowledge of your environment, or, here are a set of things. Some of them are financial, some of them are, freemium offers around things. So there's a number of offers. The vendors are all reaching out in a very appropriate way, but I will say, as always in our industry, we never seem to have a shortage of things that people need to learn and read about.
Yeah.
And for clients that are already burdened and buried in terms of the things that are changing in their environments, now is not the time to all of a sudden shower them with a ton of different things, right? So we're trying to be very purposeful and organized in terms of how we bring that information to our customers.
It sounds like the sales team has almost shifted more into a sort of customer experience or customer service mode, at least to the short term.
Well, I hope that that's the transformation that we've been under for, I've been at Longview 7.5 years. We've gone through a pretty significant transformation to that, mm-hmm. that type of engagement. But yes, I'd say it's definitely dialed up. But I'm hoping our team has been doing that, and I know they have for quite a while.
All right, Dave, appreciate your taking the time. Good to hear from you, and all the best for navigating these crazy times.
Thanks, Robert, and all the best to you and your family. Stay safe, and to all the listeners or readers. Take care of your families, of course, first. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And yeah, we'll get through this.
Amen.
Hopefully stronger than ever. Take care.
There you have it. The Respond to COVID-19 from Longview Systems' Dave Fredrickson. I'd like to thank Dave for joining me, and thank you for listening. We'll be sticking with the solution provider point of view tomorrow as we check in with Barb Poluskovich, president of Oakville, Ontario-based CDN Technologies, to discuss how her organization and its clients have faced the COVID-19 pandemic, including lots of thoughts on the importance of good customer communications during tough times. Until then, we'd invite you to subscribe to the podcast in your podcatcher of choice. You can find us either on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.